God never called men to be great. He only called them to follow Him. He simply said, "Follow me." Each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Hello, and a beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Mounts. It's good to be able to come right back in your homes again today with a beautiful message of Something to Believe In. We certainly do appreciate you inviting us in your homes for the next 30 minutes that we might magnify and worship the Lord. The Bible said this is the day the Lord hath made, and we can rejoice and we can be glad therein. And I trust today that everything's well at your place, and that we might bring a ray of sunshine by singing a good old gospel song, bringing a message to you today, which we'll be preaching from John 5 and 1. And I trust today that it will be a blessing to you. Let's get right into our broadcast today and do this beautiful song. I think it'd be great if we start our service today in a worship atmosphere. And this simply says, in the
as way. I walk to the door, I sense His presence, and I knew that this was the place where love abounds. For this is the temple, Jehovah God Almighty. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. In His presence, there is joy beyond measure. And at His feet, peace of mind can still be found. If you have a need, I know that He has the answer. Reach out and claim it, child, for you're standing on holy ground. And we are standing on holy ground. And I know all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Let us pray,
we certainly do appreciate you opening your homes and convalescing places for us and letting us come in to be with you. There's many of you there that we talk to along the way to hear the broadcast, and we want to remember you in the broadcast today. If you're sick and shut in, we personally want to remember you. Let's remember Catherine Meadows. I was thinking about her all week, and also Margaret Higginbottom and Ethel Coulter and our shut-in folks, Ruth Williams and Virginia Williams, and we hope that they're doing real well. Anna Lee Broyles, and, well, I'm just mentioning some folks that we're thinking about. Howard, let's remember Howard Broyles there in the Linside area and all of you. And also Tina Broyles and also William, and we hope that they're still receiving our broadcast. Many of the folks there in the church that we used to pastor, we certainly appreciate them. Just out of sight don't mean that they're out of mind. We're still thinking about them, thinking about the folks up at Dropping Lick and Rock Camp and Linside and over to Red Sulphur area, the Greens over there, and also Betty Humphreys and her husband, and also we want to remember also today in the broadcast, let's remember Pearl and OB Mann. Hope they're still hearing the broadcast. And we'd love to hear from you. This has been 5 weeks in this month, and we certainly do need to hear from you and that you can help us continue the broadcast. Okay? Let's go back to another beautiful song.
A country where no twilight shadows deepen, an ending day where night will never be. A city where the storm clouds cannot gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne around the crystal sea? To meet our eyes once and proud Christ forever. All this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus before whose image other lives all flee, and when they crown Him Lord of all, I'll be there. For this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get join the throne around the crystal sea? To greet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Oh, this is just what heaven needs to be.
I am reading today from John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jew, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In those lay a great multitude of impotent folk. They were blind, they were halt, they were withered, they were waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever diseases that they had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in this place, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another will step down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed, and he walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath day. First of all, we must begin in the book of John by saying that John was a writer of love. You remember that John in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. As you begin to examine the writings of John, you will find that John was primarily the writer who wrote about the great love of God. He projected the love of God through Jesus Christ, and he shows his compassion. He shows that his grace and God's grace and mercy, how that it worked through the life of Jesus. And the story goes that they were having a great feast in Jerusalem. And sure enough, all of the people would gather there in Jerusalem, and they would celebrate this great feast. But Jesus was more interested in those who needed a touch of God. And that's why that he goes down to the Pool of Bethesda. Now, the Pool of Bethesda is also known as the place with the five porches of grace. And I think that that's what the picture is really all about, is God's grace being shown to the blind, the withered, the halt, and the lame. And when he got down to the Pool of Bethesda, you know, I can just imagine the scene that he saw. I can see the compassion. I can see the love that rose within the heart and the life of Jesus Christ as he looked upon people who had been defaced by life. And, you know, I believe that God sees the sick. I believe that God sees the lame. I think that God sees the halt. I think that God sees the wither. You see, God is a great, compassionate God. And sometimes we don't understand why that we have so many sick folk. We don't understand why that so many people have to be sick. I visit the hospitals a lot. I visit the convalescent places. And I just don't understand it. I mean, I know that God's a great physician. I know that God is a great healer. But, you know, there is three sides to sickness, and that is the physical side and the mental side and also the spiritual side. And I've always said it that I believe that the physical side can be touched by a spiritual side and also a mental side. Because, you see, when people are sick, I'll tell you, they can't function right. You just don't think right because, you see, sickness just really kind of throws the body complete out of focus. And I can imagine that this wasn't a beautiful scene. I imagine that when Jesus came down to the Pool of Bethesda, that he saw something that would grieve his heart. He saw many people who were blind, who were halted, and who were withered. And I think the scene caused the compassion to rise in Jesus. I can just imagine how that these that were sick and they looked upon Jesus and in his eyes, through his eyes, there was something different about this man because this man really cared about their condition. And I'd like to say right here, sick person, that God cares about your condition. If it's blind, withered, halt, or lame, sin, sick, whatever the condition is, God sees your situation and God grieves over your situation. And God's asking you the very same question that was asked this day when he saw this man who had been lying there for 38 long years. Isn't that a long time to carry a sickness or an affliction? But can you imagine the voice of Jesus when Jesus looked at this man and their eyes met and Jesus saw the grief and the sorrow in the man's eyes? But yet he saw the man who had been laying there for 38 long years, he saw help and hope coming through the eyes of this man. When Jesus looked at him and said, Sir, wilt thou be made whole? Well, I can just imagine the man said, Yes, sir, absolutely. I don't want to be in this condition. I don't want to be here. I've laid here for 38 long years. I've waited, I've longed, and I've hoped for the moment that I can get up from this place and that I might leave this place of sickness and a place of affliction. Folks, let me tell you something. Sickness is not an easy thing. Remember, A woman who had the blood issue for so many long years, she couldn't be a wife to her husband. She couldn't be a mother to her children because she had a blood issue for so many, many long years. Even the Bible says that she had gone everywhere. She had been to every physician. She spent everything that she had. And I can just see through these statements that there were misery and there was grief within this mother's heart. And she wanted to be a normal mother. She wanted to be a normal wife. But you see, sickness had separated her from all of these situations. But one day, she heard about Jesus. And you know, today, I'm telling you that Jesus has healing in his eyes. Jesus has healing in his hands. And this woman said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. Well, the opposition looked great, just like it did at the Pool of Bethesda. And when she came in among the crowd, and the thing that really moves me in this passage of Scripture, the Bible states very clearly that she came from behind, so therefore she was the underdog. And she came in from behind, and she saw the great crowd, and all these people were thronging around her. Well, within herself, she would have probably said, well, I'll go away and come back when there's not so many people. But no, sir, she was determined, because she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. And she pressed her way through the crowd, and sure enough, you know, to touch the hem of his garment, she had to be down on her knees, maybe down lower than everyone else, and she was pushing her way in to touch Jesus. You know, folks, today Jesus is there, and sometimes we don't really take the time. We let the opposition separate us from our healing. But this woman said, I'll not be separated. This is my day. This is my miracle, and if I can touch him, I can be made whole. And I say to you today, don't let the opposition stop you, because Jesus is the great physician. So this man, when the question was asked, will thou be made whole? He stirred up some faith in that man's life. He saw something in this man that he had never seen in the other man, because this man meant business. This man knew exactly what he was talking about. The Bible said this man speaks like no other man. He speaks words of strength and speaks words of encouragement. And he said to the man, will thou be made whole? This man said, yes, sir, I've been here a long time. I've been waiting, because he confessed that he needed some help. And you know, that's the first thing in receiving something from God. Confess your faults. Confess your faults, the Bible said, one to another. Confess your sickness to one who can help you. Because I believe in the anointing of oil. I believe, the Bible said, if there be any sick amongst them, let them call for the elders of the church. You know what they're doing? They are confessing that they need help. I need your help. I need your strength. I need someone laying their hands of faith upon me. I need someone to touch me with a point of contact, because the Bible said if any two would agree as touching any one thing. So when we touch hands, or when we touch a God in prayer, we are agreeing in prayer. And this man said, I confess that I need help. Hey, don't be ashamed to ask God, because God is waiting. He said, cast your cares upon him, because I care for you. So this man says to him, yes, sir, I'm here. I need help, and I'll take help anywhere and everywhere that I can get it. Because, you see, he sees a hope that had never been there before. And all of a sudden he said, I would love to have help, but I have no man, because, you see, his inability to help himself. And you know, folks, today, our inability to help ourselves is very obvious. You see, if we can help ourselves, then we don't need God. We come to the place sometime when it's either God or nothing. We come to the place where if God doesn't intervene, I'm going to die. If God doesn't intervene, I'll never be made whole. But you see, all of a sudden, he realizes that his inability to help himself, he says, I have no man. Well, maybe he was looking to the wrong man. Maybe he was like Naaman. You see, he went to the wrong man. He asked for healing from the wrong man. But when the prophet told him what to do, he rebelled against that. But today, we must do all that God tells us to do. Hey, tell the pastor, get that anointing oil out. Call the saints of God. Let them anoint my brow. And let God touch my body. I believe in divine healing. But when you talk about healing and divine healing, you see, just common healing is brought on by doctors. doctors. Doctors and medicine is a common way of healing. But we're talking about divine healing. When you get into divine healing, that means that God, in a divine touch, is going to touch you, and divinely you're going to be healed from whatsoever diseases that you have. So sometimes we look to the wrong man. We look for medicine for the cure. That's quite all right. I take medicine my own self. I have nothing wrong with that. I remember that Brother C.M. Ward, that great man of God, and he spoke these words. He said, "Hey, folks," he said, "if I fail, I broke my arm," he said, "first of all, I'd say God set the bone." And he said, "if God didn't do it immediately," he said, "I'd call 911. I'd go to the doctor using common sense, and I would have him to put it in a cast until healing comes about." Well, folks, listen, we've got to use a little common sense. You see, Jesus and his finished work. Jesus wants to do a finished work upon on you. You remember in the Bible where the man was blind, he put a spittle of clay upon his eyes. Doesn't that tell you something? You see, we're all created from the dust of the earth. But there was an incomplete work done on this man. And when he put the spittle of clay upon his eyes, all of a sudden the completeness of God had touched his eyes and touched his life. And he went and washed, and he came forth seeing. And today, this man is going to receive his healing, because Jesus tells him in verse 8, he said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Now, why did he tell him to take up his bed? I'll tell you why. It's because healing had come. He had laid there for many years. Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus asked him the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And when the man said, "Yes, sir, I want my healing," you see, that moves the heart of God. When we not demand God, but when we ask of God whatsoever things we desire, when we pray, believe, and we shall receive. This man simply asked God, "Yes, I want to be healed." And when he had made that request to God, then God automatically had to answer that request. And he says, "Sir, then take up your bed and walk." Now, he never mentioned the healing. He never mentioned that you were made whole. He simply said, "Take up your bed and walk." Well, when that man moved by faith, picked up his bed, then healing come to this person's body. And why did he take his bed? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus did not want him to leave his bed, because he might want to come back and take his bed again. A lot of times when God gives you healing, when God brings you to deliverance, then all of a sudden you want to go back to that old situation. Jack Holcomb used to sing a song that moved my heart many years ago when I began my ministry. "Back to them old paths I cannot go. Back to the old paths of sin, oh woe. Back to the old paths of sin, oh no, because now I've had a touch of Jesus." So, sir, ma'am, if Jesus touches you in healing, in salvation, if God touches you anyway, take up your bed and walk away from that situation. Get away from the situation. Get away from the area that you're in, the area that's pulled you down, that's kept you in that state of mind, that's kept you in that condition of mind. Move away from it. I don't care what disease it is, what affliction it is, what sin it is. Lay aside those sins that so easily beset you. Get your bed under your arm. Move away from that situation. And when you leave that situation, leave it behind. If it's sickness, leave it behind. If it's financial problems, leave it behind. I don't care what it is, go to John 5 and listen as Jesus instructed this man, and how this man received his healing, and believe today that you can be put in the same situation as the woman with the issue of blood, as the man at the pool of Bethesda, because the Bible said, "Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus Christ." And today, sir, ma'am, you can be healed of whatsoever diseases that you have.
One day I came to him, I was so thirsty. I asked for water, my soul was so dry. He gave me water I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord had to die. He said, I thirst, yet He made the river. He said, I thirst, yet He made the sea. I thirst, cried the King of all In His great thirst, He brought water to me. Now there's a river that flows as clear as crystal. It comes from God, His throne above. And like the river that it dwells up inside me, bringing mercy and a life-giving love. He said, I thirst, yet He made the river. He said, I thirst, yet He made the sea. I thirst, cried the King of all ages. In His great thirst, He brought water.
We appreciate each of you for your loving prayers, and we look forward to being with you again next week. And as we leave you today, always remember there is something to believe in.